Magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Sa church history, mayroon nababanggit na isang hindi karaniwan na lalaki na ang pangalan ay Simeon Stylite, who claimed to be a Christian. One day, he decided to seclude himself sa Syrian desert and constructed a 6 feet tall na pillar, and ayon sa kanya, doon daw po siya titira sa tuktok noon for the next 6 years. Ang kanyang dahilan is that he wanted to commune with God. Gagawin niya yun by separating himself from worldly distractions and sin. Gusto niya kasi na silang dalawa lang ang Panginoon magkasama kasi he wanted to be spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? Well, ang pagiging spiritual po ay hindi primarily nararanasan privately but exercised publicly. Hindi ito lalago in isolation but within the community of the believers of Jesus Christ. Being spiritual is meant to be shared. Sa passage natin ngayong araw na ito, ito po yung nais ni Paul na ituro sa mga taga-Galatians, na ang true Christian spirituality is based on a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now in our second to the last Friday of our sermon series, The Book of Galatians, No Other Gospel. So far, napag-aralan na natin sa chapters 1 and 2, Paul defended his apostolic authority by recounting his spiritual autobiography and defended na ang gospel ng kanyang tinuturo ay nagmumula sa hindi kahit sinong tao, kundi nagmumula kay Kristo. It is the gospel of free grace. Sa chapters 3 and 4 naman, pinaliwanag ni Paul kung ano ang theology ng gospel ng kanyang pinangangaral. Nang isang nilalang ay mapapawalang sala lamang by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Itong huling dalawang chapters na inaaral natin, chapters 5 at saka chapter 6, Paul takes this good news of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection and showed to his readers how to apply it in their daily lives. Na ang tunay na Christian will have and exemplify the virtues produced by the fruit of the Spirit sa kanilang buhay. So what does it look like to practically walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit? What are the results of a Spirit-filled life? At ito po ang ating sasagutin sa passage natin ngayong hapon na ito. The Spirit of God empowers the people of God to love each other well. Yun po ang ating main point. The Spirit of God empowers the people of God to love each other well. We have divided itong passage ito into 5 headings and all answers the question, how do Christians relate to one another? Well, first of all, number 1, restore one another from sin, verse 1. Number 2, carry one another's burden, verse 2. Number 3, consider others more important, verses 3 to 5. Number 4, share with one another, which we will be seeing that in verse 6. And number 5, continue doing good to one another, which is verses 7 hanggang 10. Let's start with the first one, restore one another from sin. Let's read verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Ang bawat salita sa verse na ito ay very, very significant. Umpisahan po natin sa word na brothers, or you can also read this as brothers or sisters, or brothers and sisters. Ito ay isang paalaala na ang church po ay God's family, a God's family who was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father adopted us into His family. Bagamat tayo ay kabahagi ng pamilya ng Diyos, hindi ho nangangahulugan na tayo po ay immune sa pagkakasala, na tayo po ay hindi nakakasala sa bawat isa. Kagaya ng ating inaral last week, ang ating laman ay patuloy na nakikipagdigmaan sa Espiritu ng Panginoon. May mga pagkakataon na tayo nahuhulog tayo sa kasalanan, na kung saan ang mga moments of weaknesses natin, we are caught in transgression. Yun yung sinabi ni Paul just sa verse 1. Caught in any transgression does not mean habitual sins na ginagawa ng mga hindi Christians, but unexpected sins na ginagawa ng mga mananampalataya. Na kung saan ang Kristiyano ay nahuli sa akto ng pagkakasala. Parang ito po yung adulterous woman sa John chapter 8 verse 4, na kung saan yung mga Pharisees caught itong woman na ito committing adultery at hinila po siya, kinaladkad at inagay sa paa ni Jesus Christ to judge her. Of course, we know that the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus Christ sa scenario na ito. But yun po yung kinatawag na caught in transgression. Now, sa time ni Paul, Paul was saying, if you caught a brother or if you caught a sister in the actual sin, yun yung po yung sinasabi niyan. So, you must confront. And we'll talk more about that later. Now, this catching of transgression can be done by another brother or sister sa nakita yung isang kapatiran na ginagawa yung actual sin. Or, maaaring ang Kristiyano mismo ang nakahuli sa kanyang sarili sa pagkakasala. Parang nahuli mo ang sarili mo na may naisip ka o may nasabi ka o may nagawa ka na hindi maganda sa iyong kapwa na kinagulat mo rin mismo. Naisip mo, bakit ko naisip to? Bakit ko kinilos to? You caught yourself through the empowerment of the Spirit, gave you discernment, allow you to see yung ginawa mo ay mali. Ang isang mananampalataya na nahulog sa ganitong klaseng kasalanan needs proper spiritual care. At ano naman ang gagawin, kailangan gawin sa isang mananampalataya na ganito who's caught in sin? Well, makikita po natin sa verse 1, restore him or restore her. Ang term na restore sa Greek ay isang medical term na ang ibig sabihin to return to its former condition. It gives us imagery of gently setting back a bone or a dislocated joint. Ang isang mananampalataya kapag nagkasala should be gently put back in order. So one of the ways we relate to one another as Christian is to restore or a brother or a sister in Christ pag sila'y nagkakasala. Unfortunately, tayo mga Kristiyano minsan treat our brothers and sisters who are in sin poorly. At sa panamparaan natin, we do this poorly. There are two ways. Unang-una, when we caught or catch a brother or sister in sin, we sometimes condole yung sin. What do I mean by that? It means we sometimes ignore it. Napapansin na natin na nagkakasala na itong kapatiran na ito sa kanyang buhay, pero mas pinili pa rin natin manahimik, pretending na parang walang nangyayari kahit nakikita mo na yung obvious. Ang dahilan, kasi natatakot po tayo ma-involve sa life ng kapatiran na ito in this way. We say things, naku, mahirap na, pastor. Baka sabihin, napaka-judgmental ko naman. Okay, ano man, sasabihin natin, baka, naku, mahirap, pastor, pag naghimasok tayo sa mga ganyang situation, baka isipin nila kung sino ako nagmamakabanal-banalan, tingnan ko muna ang ika-aking buhay. Some might say, naku, mahirap na magsalita, pastor, baka mag-away lang kami, mas mainam siguro na wag na lang kami mag-usap patungkol dyan. Na ang problema po kung ganun po ang ating pag-iisip o argumento, hindi mare-restore ang ating kapatiran sa ganyan. They will continue living in sin, continue to hurt themselves, and continue to hurt other people. So kailangan hindi tayo manahimik. Now there's a second way that we harm each other pagdating sa area na ito, and that is by condemning the sinner. We condemn the sinner. Ito naman yung napansin natin ang kanyang kasalanan ng isang and then we look down on them. Pinamumukha natin lahat ng mga maling desisyon na kanyang ginawa at hina-highlight kung gaano sila kasama. So dapat mga kapatid, hindi dapat ganun ang ating approach. And we have a tendency to raise our voice against them, scold them, treat them na parang outcasts. And worse, we tell other people about their condition. And ang tawag po dyan ay chismis. Sometimes we see a problem sa ating kapatiran, imbis na going straight to them in love with gentleness, we have a tendency to go to other people and we sometimes sound this way. Ay kapatid, kamusta na? Uy, alam mo na ba nangyari kay Ate Matilda? Oo, yun nga. Kaya nga sinasabihan ko na nga siya na bakit ganun ang ginawa niya? Maling-mali yung ginawa niya. Buti na nakakaiwas ako sa mga ganung problema. Hindi ko nagagawa yung mga ganung klaseng kasalanan eh. Pero huwag ka maingay. Ating-atin na lang ito. Huwag ka na lang maingay. Kasi sinabi ko lang naman to for accountability. Kaya ko lang naman sinabi ito para alam mo yung mapag-pray natin sila. Kapatid, hindi helpful yan pag ganyan. Hindi spiritual yon. Chismis po yon. Mga kaibigan, kapag ang isang Kristiyano ay nakulihan natin nagkakasala, hindi dapat natin sila ina-isolate or ina-amputate. We don't condole their sins nor we condemn them. What do? Then we confront them. We restore them. Paano pa naman, Pastor? Look at verse 1. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. We must restore the sinner. Yung po ang point dito. We confront them in love, helping them to see and confess their sins in hopes that they would repent from it. We help them by pointing them back to Jesus Christ, that they would find forgiveness and peace and welcome them back to the fellowship. Dapat ganun po. Pero Pastor, sabi din sa verse 1, you who are spiritual. So ano ibig sabihin niya? Ibig sabihin ba lahat lang ng mga mature na Kristiyano ang pwede mag-confront? So ibig sabihin niya lahat ng mga Bible study leaders lang o kayong mga pastor lang ang pwede kumuha? Yung ba ang ibig sabihin nun? Well, pagka matotoo na may mga kapatiran tayo who are more mature than others at marahil could do a better job in confronting kumpara sa iba, ngunit ang spiritual rehabilitation of sinners ay trabaho lahat ng spiritual people. And ang spiritual people na yan, ang tawag sa kanila ay Christians. Which means all Christians are spiritual people. Now, ano ibig sabihin mo niya, Pastor? Let me explain this. The moment that a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, has responded in repentance, in faith, in Christ alone for salvation. And I imagine the Holy Spirit now enters his life, dwells in him. From that point on, he or she now becomes a spiritual person because of the Spirit of God in them. Kaya lahat tayo ay spiritual people. At lahat tayo dapat maging involved sa ministry ng reconciliation. Wala pong exemption. Pero Pastor, hindi ako marunong. Well, it's great that you would ask someone who is more mature in faith to guide you and even help you. So, pero hindi po kayo exempted in doing this. At sa paanong paraan dapat, Pastor, na i-restore natin ang ating kapatiran? Well, ang sagot nasa verse 1 pa rin. In a spirit of gentleness. Alamin po natin na ang gentleness or meekness ay isa sa mga katangian ng fruit of the Spirit. That's why sinners are to be restored gently. Ang spiritual person lang ang pwedeng makagawa nito dahil ang spiritual person ay may tunay na spiritual gentleness. Kaya po when a person confronts someone of their sins with harshness or being judgmental, ito po marahil ay palatanda ng spiritual immaturity ng isang mananampalataya. Minsan ang naakala natin na matatauhan, quote and quote, itong kapatiran na to na nagkakasala kapag malakas ang aking tono, kapag galit ang aking tono para makommunicate yung righteous indignation ng Panginoon at padlalo siyang maging sorry sa kanyang kasalanan. Ngunit mga kapatid, ang tanging kapamamaraanan upang ma-restore ang isang mananampalataya ay hindi sa ganong kapamamaraanan kundi with gentle sensitivity. Ayon kay Paul. Friends, we should be more intentional in caring for each other sa area na ito, lalong-lalo na sa panahon na ito. We are in a unique time where we spend a lot of our hours every day together, marahil sa isang maliit na lugar or space, nakasama natin ang ating asawa, ang ating mga anak, kamag-anak, kasamahan sa flat bahay o kaibigan. At dahil sa madalas tayo magkasama na araw-araw, oras-oras, dahan-dahan po natin makikilala ang bawat isa. We will get to see and know each other's habits and patterns, routines, what others like and dislike. We will witness ang beauty ng Christ-like characters ng bawat isang kasama natin at pati na din ang sinful and destructive habits and attitudes ng bawat isa. And that, my friends, should alarm us. Friends, if we see sinful habits or attitudes sa ating kapatiran sa Panginoon, do not be silent. Do not be hasty, be prayerful, but do not be silent. At the same time, let us not be too harsh when confronting or restoring a brother and sister in Christ na huli mo nagkakasala. Restore them gently, and it starts by confronting them in love. Mga kaibigan, sinong mahal mo sa buhay ang kailangan mo i-confront sa panahon na ito? Maybe matagal mo nang pinaplano ito, kaso lagi mo pinagpapaliban. At dahil sa pinatagal mo ito, mas lumalala na ang kanyang kondisyon at mas nagiging masalimuot na ang kanyang kalagayan. Kaya parang mas nagiging awkward ang planning ng pag-confront mo sa kanya. Friends, do you value this person so much that you will risk your convenience, your comfort zone, your peace, and even your relationship with him or her to lovingly confront them of their sins? Or maybe ang setup mo ngayon, panahon na ito, is ikaw lang ang mag-isa sa flat o mag-isa sa kwarto, and you spend most of your time by yourself. Mga kaibigan, kung hindi tayo mag-iingat, we can easily fall into despair, sexual immorality, or even bitterness. I encourage you to build accountability sa mga kapatiran natin through online platforms like Zoom, WhatsApp, or even regularly call someone. Okay? Do not be spiritually complacent. There's no such thing as a spiritual spa where we all relax spiritually. Remember, we should not be relaxing. We are at war. Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And your flesh are enticed by the enemy's allurements. Don't fight sin alone. Or if you're already in sin, don't keep it in the dark. Expose it. Confess it. Reach out sa mga kapatiran. And friends, mga kapatid sa Panginoon, kung itong week na ito, may kapatiran na magkukumpronta sa iyo because of your sin, I encourage you, don't be defensive. Don't push back. Don't deny. Don't confront back. But listen. Pray that the Spirit would open your heart and see the sinfulness of your sins and the sinfulness of your righteousness sa harapan ng isang banal na Diyos. Let your brother and sister in Christ minister to your souls as they point you back to the gospel of grace ni Jesus Christ. Ang Bible nag-provide ng step-by-step na proseso for restoring a fallen brother or sister sa kasalanan in a church context. At maaaring pamilyar si Paul dito sa katuruan ni Jesus Christ sa Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. Sabi po dyan ni Jesus Christ, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, and you may be established by the evidence of two or three. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." Ito po ay isang careful process ng restoration that gradually moves from private confrontation to public confrontation. And ito ang process po natin dito sa church, sa crossroads, na kung saan we are willing to undergo to when needed. Ang tawag po natin dito sa crossroads ay corrective discipline. Ito po ay process of confronting and correcting a disciple ni Jesus Christ and calling them back to repentance and restored fellowship. Corrective discipline also starts when you call out someone privately, which is yung nasa Matthew 18. Kapag hindi po siya nakinig sa inyo, tatawag ka pa ng isa pang witness para mapakinggan kayong dalawa. And in hopes na to call to repentance yung nagkakasala. At kung hindi ko nakinig sa isang witness na mas ideally isang pastor or elder or Bible study leader, kapag hindi sila nakinig doon, then we now bring it to the church. What we will be doing in such church is we will call out a members meeting where we present itong kapatiran who is not repenting. And from there, let the church reach out in love sa nagkakasalang kapatid na ito. And if they don't listen to the whole church, then the Bible calls us to dismiss them out of membership or excommunicate. Meaning that as a church, we cannot confirm kung itong kapatiran na to ay anak ng Diyos o Kristiyano. Now, yung process po na ito requires time,
requires humility, it requires gentleness, and the goal is always restoration. The more we learn about someone else's sin, though, we have a tendency to look down on them and view ourselves as someone better. We must fight itong temptation na to, kaya ito nagbigay ng warning si Paul sa verse 1. Sabi niya sa last part ng verse 1, keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. Ang isang mananampalataya who is walking, living by the Spirit is a person who restores a brother and sister in Christ from sin. Another way that we can relate to other Christians is number 2, carry one another's burden. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sabi ni Martin Luther, this work requires strong shoulders and mighty bones. Kung kanina ang analogy po natin is setting back a dislocated bone, ito naman yung analogy po natin dito is more like a person carry or people carrying a stretcher na kung saan nakahiga dun sa ibabaw ang pasyente. Yun po yung analogy na pwede natin diyan. Carrying someone else's burden is hard work. Being caught in sin from time to time ay isa na pong mabigat na pasanin or burden. Ngunit ang isang tunay na Kristiyano o mananampalataya sa Panginoon Jesucristo ay nakaharap sa napakadami at sari-saring pasanin. Lahat po tayo ay nakaharap sa mga pasanin ng kalungkutan, pag-alala, pagdududa, pagkabigo, kalungkutan, physical na karamdaman, relational heartbreaks, disabilities, even depressions, especially during these times of uncertainty. These burdens are overwhelming and we are all incapable of carrying these loads by ourselves. That's why we are called, sabi ni Paul, to share itong mga burdens na ito. Now, there are 3 types of burden carriers. 3 types of burden carriers. Let me mention them. Una-una, fellow Christians. Fellow Christians are burden carriers. I'm talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ, specifically some members ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ang mga kapatiran sa Panginoon are burden carriers. Now, sa verse 2, yung salitang bear, which is sa Greek is baros, refers to a heavy load o parang isang cargo na kailangan isampa sa isang 18-wheeler na truck. This describes a weight that must be shared because it is too heavy to carry. Paul intentionally used that term to describe a weight that a Christian must share because its weightiness is too much for one person to carry. Now, sa paparong paraan tayo pwedeng tumulong sa pagbuhat ng pasanin ng ating mga kapatiran dito sa Crossroads or sa church? Well, a few things is by listening and asking good questions to help them process kung anong kanilang pinagdadaanan. Another way is by crying with them, encouraging them with a word, provide counseling when needed, point them to Jesus, remind them that the grace that saved them is the same grace that will cause them to persevere, the same grace that will sustain them. Now, another way is through practically helping them meet their needs. Now, our church is currently developing a ministry na tawag po natin ay member care, where we practically help meet the needs of our members. Where we order online groceries, supplies, even meals to be delivered sa kanilang mga flats or villa, especially kung sa time na ito na kung saan safety is in high priority. And we also try to provide counsel and financial assistance depending on available funds in church. All of these and many more are efforts to help carry burdens of our members. Now, the church and other Christians are one of the 3 types of burden carriers. Another type of burden carrier is yourself. Yes, yourself. Makita po yan sa verse 5. Jump to verse 5. For each will have to bear his own load. Teka muna, hindi ba parang kinokontradict na naman ni Paul? Parang kinokontradict ni Paul ang kanyang sarili? Kasi una sinabi niya, carry each other's burden sa verse 2, tapos all of a sudden, carry your own burden sa verse 5. What is Paul saying here?
Well, so in verses 2 and 5, do not contradict but complement each other. Kasi iba po ang word na bear na ginamit ni Paul dito sa first 2, sa verse 5. So verse 5, yung bear na ginamit niya dito is portion, which refers to a man's traveling pack o parang katumbas po ng backpack po natin. Something that he can manage to carry on his own. So anong sinasabi ni Paul po dito? Nung na-mention ni Paul na each will have to bear his own weight, it means the weight of our responsibility before God. Hindi ko pa sa akin na problema. Binigyan tayo ng Panginoon ng unique set of gifts for our situation in life. We will be responsible kung paano natin gagamitin, and we should steward them well. Kasi God will judge us all on the basis of our calling, basis of our gifts, basis of our obedience to word. So use it in order to serve others well and honor God. Third burden carrier is God Himself. Yes, God invites His children to cast our burdens, cast our cares to Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Sabi sa Psalm 55 verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be unmoved. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Casting our cares to God means humbling ourselves before Him. If you continue to worry about your problems, ang tawag po dyan ay kasalanan na. Ang pag-worry po is a form of pride. Kasi po, you try to take all your concerns to yourself. Kaya po ang sabi po sa Proverbs 3, verse 5, which is binasa ni Pastor Jack kanina, that to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Ang pagtiwala sa Panginoon ng buong puso means trusting ang salita ng Diyos, which means trusting ang kapamamaraanan ng Diyos, which means trusting yung sagot o kalooban ng Panginoon sa ating mga panalangin. Friends, in our COVID-crazed world, anong pansarili mong alalahanin at pasanin ang kailangan mong ipapasan sa Panginoon? Now, carry each other's burdens is not easy. Hindi madali ang tumulong sa iba. Lalo na kung mas pinahahalagaan natin ang ating mga sarili. That's why we go to our third point. Consider others more important. Let's read verse 3 to 4. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let's stop right there. A cabin crew once asked yung heavyweight, former heavyweight champion of the world, si Muhammad Ali, na bago mag-take off po yung aeroplano, sinabihan siya na mag-seat belt. So, in objection, ito po ang sinabi ni Muhammad Ali sa cabin crew. Superman don't need no seat belt. Yan ang sinabi ni Muhammad Ali. Ang sagot naman ng cabin crew sa kanya is this. Superman don't need no airplane. Ano ang point po ng illustration na yan? Ano yung point ng sinabi ni Paul? Ang point ni Paul dito ay may mga tao na bilib na bilib sa kanilang sarili. Bilib na bilib sa kanilang kakayanan, abilidad, at accomplishments that they think they are indestructible, indispensable, highly important, at kung gano'n ang paniniwala nila sa kanilang sarili, ayon kay Paul, niloloko lang daw nila ang kanilang sarili. They feel too important to help others who are in need. Paul is saying, ang mga taong mataas ang tingin sa kanilang sarili generally are unwilling to carry anyone's burdens. They are too self-centered to be self-serving or self-giving. Ganito po yan, ang tanging paraan lamang to carry a brother or sister's burden is by momentarily putting down our own burdens aside. Helping a brother or sister in Christ requires sacrifices that we will make. Only if we consider these people as valuable sa harapan ng Panginoon. I remember a member of ours sharing to me how she was going through some series of difficulties and discouragements sa kanyang life right now. And she started praying that God would use anyone, especially kapatiran sa Crossroads, who would call and reach out to her to give her counsel. After some time, nakareceive po siya na, I'm not sure kung tawag or WhatsApp message, sa members of Crossroads, and she was really praising God, knowing that she will be receiving good, hopefully good counsel. Tapos sa kinagulat niya, yung member na tumawag sa kanya o nakausap niya, nag-share ng mabigat na problema sa kanya, mas mabigat pa sa kanyang hinaharap. Towards the end of that conversation, she ended up taking her Bible and encouraging itong kapatiran na to in the Word. But as a result, both of them were encouraged. She should have said no sa nung tumawag itong alin na ito when she herself is carrying a burden. But no, she set aside her burden in order to carry another sister's burden. Now friends, that is gospel love. That is selfless love. Friends, are you willing to be inconvenienced in order to help carry the burden of a brother or sister in Christ? What would that inconvenience look like? Could it be using some of your hours resting to call to encourage someone? Is it cutting on your budget to help someone who you know who badly needs financial assistance? Friends, thinking that we are more important than others, or our concerns are more important than others, prevents us from helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because why? We are thinking more of our self-preservation rather than carrying their burdens. As sabi ni Paul, the way to avoid thinking that we are better than others ay makikita sa verse 4. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Instead of comparing ourselves to others, we should compare ourselves to God's standards, His Word. This humbles us. According kay Philip Graham Ryken, in his commentaries to Galatians, he comments on this. And then he says, when Paul speaks of boasting, he obviously does not mean that God wants us to go around bragging that we are better than someone else. What he means is there should be confidence of who we are in Christ. When our actions meet God's test, as they do whenever they truly are done according to His Word, in service to Christ or advancement of His glory, then we can properly take pleasure in His praise. Friends, whenever we consider others more important than ourselves, we seek for ways to serve them instead of expecting to be served by them. How do Christians relate to one another? We restore one another from sin, carry one another's burden, consider others more important. Number 4, we share with one another. Look at verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, sa part na to, medyo I feel a little bit awkward. Kasi Paul tells us that the kind of sharing na nabanggit dito is primarily the kind that takes place between a pastor and his congregation, where the congregation shares practical assistance sa kanilang pastors. Now, ang pagturo ng salita ng Diyos ay ang prioridad ng isang pastor. Sa panahon natin ngayon, many people including pastors themselves, have unbiblical expectations pagdating sa minister. Some believe that pastors should be like salesmen, na dapat na magaling mag-package, i-package yung gospel well para mabilis ibenta ito sa tao. Some believe that pastors should be businessmen o para CEO, that they should run the church corporately, na dapat yung madalas tinuturo sa pulpit is about leadership styles and training. Some believe the pastors need to be motivational speakers. Dapat laging positive ang sinasabi para good vibes. That his preaching should be relevant and relatable. Dapat ang focus ng kanyang teaching or instructions should be moralistic. And dapat blessings. More blessings. While some believe that pastors should be entertainers. Dapat magaling magpatawa. Magaling magpaiyak. Magaling magpukaw ng dandamin ng mga tagapakinig.
sa mga kanyang mga magagandang kwento. Friends, ang tunay na mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos is nothing more or nothing less than a minister of the Word of God. Ang sentro ng kahit anong gospel ministry ay dapat nakatuon sa exposition ng banal na salita ng Diyos. Kagaya nga nabanggit ng isang pastor sa Washington, D.C. na si Mark Dever, sabi niya, expositional preaching that takes for the point of a sermon the point of a particular passage of Scripture. And sinasabi ni Mark Dever dito, the point of the passage is the point of the sermon. This is what strengthens the believers. This is what will build a healthy church. This is a good diet para sa mga anak ng Diyos. Ito dapat ang old preaching should be the full-time job ng pastor. Although I understand that we have bivocational brothers out there, meaning who works another job aside from pastoring. And I praise God for these brothers. I praise God that God is sustaining them by His grace in order to work at the same time do the work of ministry. Pero hindi po madali ito. Pastoring is a full-time job. At least this is what Paul has in mind sa verse 6. Ang tinutukoy ni Paul po dito ay financial or material support that a teacher of the word needs in order to survive, thrive, and devote himself in studying and teaching the word, prayer, and shepherding God's people. Sabi nga ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians 9 verse 14, in the same way, the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. According again to Martin Luther, it is impossible that one man should be devoted to household duties, say day and night, for his support, and at the same time pay attention to his study of sacred scripture, as the teaching ministry requires him. In short, ang mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos should be free or must be free to spend his time preparing, teaching for God's word and in prayer. Dapat yun po. I am thankful to God sa members po natin dito sa Crossroads for two reasons. First of all, their generosity. I praise God for their generosity. Our members are giving sacrificially, generously, and with joy for the gospel work dito sa Dubai. Bagamat ako po pa din ang nagre-raise ng support outside sa church, in order for us to meet yung needs namin mag-asawa at ibang needs ng iglesia. But what I'm blessed about is that the church has slowly started to take responsibility in covering the needs ng manggagawa at ng iglesia itself. The plan is for our church to continue to grow in faith giving so that may kakayanan po tayo i-cover ang lahat ng pangangailangan ng existing and future pastors ng church na ito. Kaya mga kapatid sa Panginoon, keep trusting the Lord. Keep giving. Keep extending grace in the area of giving. And so that the work of the gospel sa mga ministers will be focused on preparing the sermon, preaching, teaching God's word, prayer, and shepherding the hearts and souls of its members. Second thing I am thankful about sa members natin is protecting my time. Protecting my time para mag-aral, protecting my time para mag-pray. Honestly, I spend roughly around 25 hours preparing for a sermon. That's 25 hours every week to prepare a sermon, excluding pa ho pag may extra teaching or instructions na para ibigay sa church. And so I praise God for our members who honor yung time of preparation. I can tell that they value God's word. And I am encouraged by that. Before yung COVID phenomenon, my preparation days are Wednesday and Thursday, which means I spend most of my time sa study room in the office preparing. Mababala ang pag-lunch akit, then mag-aaral. That's 2 days. Of course, there are some readings the previous days in hopes that by the thing on Friday, the Lord has prepared me well in order to serve our people well. But since nagkaroon po ng change in situation, I now prepare on a Sunday and Monday
because we film yung sermon on a Tuesday. So as you are hearing me right now, it is about 1 a.m. Tuesday. Kasi it depends po kung ano oras po siya matatapos. So I praise God for giving time. I also praise God for approving ang elder enrichment budget that enables us pastors to buy books, to attend conferences and classes, to enrich us, to train us, to teach us, in order that we would be able to teach you and serve you well. Friends, I'm thankful for you for the partnership in the gospel. How do Christians relate to one another? Restore one another from sin, carry one another's burden, consider others more important, share with one another. Number 5 and last, continue doing good to one another. Let's look at verse 7 to 10, our last verses. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 7 reinforces verse 6, which is yung nabanggit na doon. Sa pagkakasulat ni Paul dito, malinaw na may mga taga-Galatian, mga taga-Galatia, na ayaw magsuporta sa mga mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos. They had fallen in some deception and they were mocking or kinukutsa nila ang Panginoon. To mock God to means they are treating God's word with disrespect. They were not restoring others from sin. They were not carrying each other's burdens. They were arrogant. They don't care about sharing towards the gospel ministry. Hindi nila pinakikinggan ang mga utos ng Diyos. That's their situation. Ito ang sinabi ni Paul. Paul gave a warning against them. And here's what Paul is saying. And I think we're very familiar with this kabasakasabihan natin. I'm going to read it in Tagalog. Na kung saan sinabi na kung anong iyong tinanim, siya rin ang inyong aanihin. That's a farming principle there that is also true in the spirit world and even in the actual world. These people have been disobedient to God and they hold sin close to them. And they're thinking that they're living and treating God's word as if walang consequences na mangyayari sa kanila. Sabi nga sa Proverbs 26 verse 7. Can a man carry his fire next to his chest and his clothes not burn? This is a warning. Paul is warning them. In short, parang ito yung tinatanong ni Paul sa kanila. Sa tingin nyo ba walang konsekwensya sa lahat ng karebeldehan ninyo? In short, that's what Paul is asking them. And he's saying, meron lahat yung konsekwensya sa mga kaibigan, bakit hindi natin itanong ito sa ating sarili ngayon? Sa tingin mo ba ang patuloy mong ginagawa na kasalanan o karebeldehan ay walang consequences? Sa tingin nyo ba walang consequences ang pagkalulong mo sa sigarilyo, alkohol, droga at pornografiya? Sa tingin mo walang consequences yan? Sa tingin nyo walang consequences ang pandaraya o panluloko mo sa trabaho? Sa tingin mo walang consequences ang pangangaliwa mo sa iyong asawa? Sa tingin mo walang consequences ang pagkarebelde mo sa iyong magulang? Sa tingin mo walang consequences ang pagkawala mong disiplina sa pagkain o sa hindi mo pagkain? Mga kaibigan, maaaring hindi mo nakikita ngayon, pero darating ang araw na makikita mo lahat ng mga lethal consequences ng actions na ito. Para itong binhi or seed na tinanim sa lupa, given enough time, the seed will take root, it will grow and produce fruits. And ang fruits po niya ay kapareha sa napag-aralan natin last week sa chapter 5 verse 17 na ang tawag doon is works of the flesh. Friends, you will become corrupted if you do that. Sin will destroy and consume you like cancer. Maybe you're saying, bakit pastor, wala naman akong nasasaktan sa ginagawa kong kasalanan na ito. Ah. Ako lang naman ito, ako lang naman naapektuhan, ako lang naman ang nasasaktan. So, pabayaan nyo na po sa akin ito as long as wala akong inaagrabyadong iba. Well, kaibigan, huwag ho kayo maniwala kasinungalingan na yan. Sinong magulang ang hindi mabobroken hearted sa isang anak na nagre-rebelde? Sinong asawa at anak ang hindi halos mabaliw nung madiskubre nila nangangalun niya ang kanyang asawa o tatay?
Kaninong negosyo ang hindi nalulugi sa pangungurap ng isang empleyado? Sinong ba, hindi ba ang unang na-offend o naapektuhan dito ay yung kabanalan ng Diyos sa ating mga kasalanan? Friends, remember, sin will not just affect you. Sin will affect everyone around you, especially the people who are close to you. Mga kaibigan, kung ganito mo malalarawan ang iyong buhay, hindi ka makawala sa kasalanan, then malinaw po na marahil wala kang relasyon sa Diyos through His Son, Jesus Christ. Ang totoo niyan, our fallen nature or sinful nature is to sin. We do not want to be restored to God. We like to rebel against Him. We care less about people's burdens, and ang burden na mahalaga sa atin really is yung burden lang natin. Kung meron man mauunang mapaglingkuran, gusto natin tayo yun. Bakit? Malaki kasi ang pagpapahalaga natin at importansya natin sa ating mga sarili. Wala tayong pakialam sa kagustuhan ng Diyos, ni may interest tayo sa kapakanan ng ibang tao. The only thing that we are concerned about is our desires, our needs, our dreams, our desires, our happiness, our convenience, our way. And friends, these selfish, idolatrous desires and plans will lead us to our deaths. Because God is a holy God. And His righteousness demands justice. Hindi siya banal if He will leave sinners unpunished. The only way to satisfy God's wrath is the sinner's death. Your death. Your death for eternity. But friends, there is hope. There is hope for you. The hope is a sinless man. We need a sinless man. A man who is tempted but not given into temptation. A man who has passions for the Lord, who has a passion for the Lord and compassion for the lost. A man who came to serve and not to be served. A man who pleased God in every way. A man who is also the eternal God. Friends, we need Jesus. Jesus is our only hope. Man's sin has offended the eternal God. That is why His punishment is eternal. And it takes the eternal Son of God to redeem us from our sins. Jesus Christ carried His cross to Calvary, and on that cross He bore the ultimate burden, our sins. He paid, He bore that ultimate burden. And on that cross He received the full wrath of God. He died on the third day. He died, and on the third day has risen from the grave. Friends, anyone who repents from their sins and trusts and put their faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, for salvation, will have eternal life, will be forgiven of their sins. So I urge you, my brothers and my friends, repent from your sins and trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. At ngayon bilang Kristiyano, we are to scatter seeds of holiness and love towards one another. Ang tunay na Kristiyano ay characterized sa makikita natin sa verses 9 to 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. A true Christian will not be consumed by their own sins, but will be consumed with loving and doing good to others. If you are doing good to others, there will be a harvest, friends. That's the promise. Maring hindi mo pa makikita ngayon, hindi mo pa makikita bukas, maring hindi mo makita sa lifetime mo ngayon. But someday it will come. Hindi po baliwala lahat ng ginagawa mong kabutihan para sa iba. para sa pangalan ng Panginoon Jesucristo. As we continue in doing good to others, walking in obedience to the Lord for His honor and glory, Paul is saying, don't grow weary. You may not see results till you reach God's kingdom and see Jesus face to face. So as you continue doing good to others, especially sa mga kapatid sa Panginoon, don't get tired. Don't go weary. Don't give up. Kung pagod ka na and about to give up, don't go grow weary. Are you tired sa mga unjust treatment mo sa work and you are tempted to cheat on your company? Don't grow weary. Maring ikaw isang nanay and dahil nga for the almost a month now, lahat ng mga tao nasa bahay, asawa mo, yung mga anak mo, you end up cleaning mo as much as before. Pag-aasikaso, luto, alaga ng mga bata, it's just overwhelming you. And you want to give up, friend, don't grow weary. Maring ikaw nandito ay single and you have been praying for years and years for that special someone. You were pursuing holiness and purity at wala pa din hanggang ngayon and you're starting to become impatient and in what it seems to be an opportunity, which is really a temptation to be in a relationship sa isang Christian, non-Christian, a very enticing because you feel that God is not answering your prayer. Friend, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. You've been working hard. Yet you received a pay cut or you lost a job and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and you are tempted to produce funds in order to provide para sa pangangailangan ninyo ng pamilya or you're tempted to be in despair. Friend, don't grow weary. Take the long view. God promises the fruit is coming soon. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in honoring God. It is good to suffer for the glory of God. If you're tired fighting sin and you just want to give in, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Friends, it is absolute necessary for Christians to be good to one another. Hindi lamang po to for the sake of being not selfish. It's because for a greater cause. But it is for the sake of our witness. The only way that the watching world to see the glory of God displayed through us, the local church, is by showing our love towards one another. So friends, do not grow weary in loving one another, so that we might adorn Christ to the watching world. Remember, the Spirit of God empowers the people of God to love each other well. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the work of grace that you have done in our lives. We're thankful for the Spirit who provided us new life, gave us new birth, has taken us out of darkness and placed us to your marvelous light. I pray for the members of Crossroads Church of Dubai that you would help us to be people who will restore one another from sin. Would you help us to have hearts who will carry each other's concerns or burdens? We pray that we would see less of ourselves and more in serving others. I pray that we would be people who are always looking to serve others rather than to be served, like Jesus Christ who came not to be served but to serve. Praying, Father, that we would share whatever resources or funds that we have in order to meet needs of brothers and sisters. And most importantly, Lord, as we all do this, help us not to be tired. You provide us that sustaining grace in order to do our work well for your glory and so that our witness to the watching world will see that you are a glorious God and that you would save them as the gospel is preached. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.